program with Tom Comack in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, stocking the official Donegal Connell range for adults and children. Gear up for Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Ki agus fáilte go dtí an clár cum an lucht tras gur na seachtain seo an clár dearnach an bliain seo agus well, hope you can stay with us because tonight I'm looking back on 2016 in the company of regular contributors to our program, John Harn, John Lynch and Conrad Gilligan. John Harn's in studio here with me. John, good night to you and thank you for braving the elements.
No bother, Tom.
And I think I've got John Lynch on the phone as well. Yes, John.
Yeah, me, Tom, yeah.
And Conrad as well, back from the nativity play, I believe.
Yeah, all the things had to be done for the kids tonight.
Well, all is to be done now, but hang up the stocking and get ready for the new season. We're going to reflect with the boys on the football season and the hurling season. We can't forget that as well either, at both club and county. And just if you want to join in with us, you can certainly do so. You can text us on 086-77-00-555. We'd love to hear any comments you have. But overall, John, as a year in terms of from Donegal, from a good Donegal point of view, what was the highlights?
Well, I suppose, Tom, the highlight for Donegal would be the Minors winning the Ulster Championship. You know, we haven't been very successful down through the years at Minors. So, you know, this last couple of years, 2 years ago we won it, we got to the All-Ireland final, and this year we won it again. So from a Donegal point of view, that's very encouraging. And, you know, we're getting our act together on the race now, maybe after a lot of years when we were playing catch up to the teams in the north. So, you know, we're one of the powerhouses now in underage football in Ulster, and that's good for the future Donegal football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was big expectations with that team this year, that Minor team.
There was, Tom, and you know, there was big expectations last year. Remember, with the great team too, and they got pipped by Derry in the Ulster semi final, you know, and they didn't get a second chance. So, you know, there was pressure on this team again this year, but thankfully they did deliver. And that, you know, that was good for them. Maybe a wee bit disappointing that they didn't beat Galway in that game in Croke Park.
That was the downer, wasn't it?
That was the downer, because it was a game that they could have won. Listen, the Kerry team that won the All-Ireland were an exceptional team, but it would be nice for the boys to get the final, and you know, you never know what would happen on the day. But that Galway game, I don't think they didn't get out of the blocks. They never got into the rhythm, and you know, from young lads' point of view, that's disappointing, but that's what can happen on the day at minor level.
Yeah, and in terms of senior and under-21, how would it go?
You'd have to be a wee bit disappointed, Tom. You know, we got no silverware at senior level, and you know, the big disappointment was the Ulster final. I know John Lynch is on the other side there and he's probably delighted, but you know, we had a good lead at half time, Tom. We were in a very strong position. Going into injury time, I suppose we were a point up, but listen, we didn't get over the line. Throwing hit us with them a couple of late body blows, and you know, they got the title. So, you know, from that point of view, it was disappointing for the seniors. I think Donegal were probably will be disappointed themselves. You know, we didn't really unearth any new players as such. So, you know, I know Rory Gallagher's back now with a 4-year term, so I think he's going to start looking at youth and try and get a few new faces into that Donegal team. Is probably needed at this stage.
Yeah, and so far, and it looks like Eamon McGee and Colin McFadden are the only retirees.
That seems to be the way. There's probably, I think the rest of them are all going to come back, bar Rory Cavanagh. There's maybe still a question mark over Rory. We don't know.
Well, you must have the inside one on that.
I've chatted him a few times. I think he hasn't made up his mind yet, but I think they're keen to have him back. Maybe, you know, after seeing him in the championship, maybe it's full forward. Maybe I think there's word that, you know, it might be a position where
I'm not sure there's a vacancy at full forward.
You know, well,
it shouldn't be anyway.
It shouldn't be, but the way we play Michael Murphy, I suppose, you know, maybe getting someone else big and strong in the full forward line as a target man, and maybe give Michael a bit more freedom. So maybe that's a role for Rory. This, I don't know, Tom. I suppose he'll have to make up his mind in the next couple of weeks before, you know, they get back into National League action in February.
John Lynch, you heard John Harn mention it there. I'm sure the highlight was winning Ulster.
I suppose from the current point of view, Tom, it was. We didn't win much before that. The Ulster Championships sort of were scarce for us. So I think it was the fact that maybe Tron had won a few All-Irelands there that the Ulster Championship didn't become, it felt less important. But for this group of players, it was big time for them. And to me, personally, it was something that had to be done for these lads. These lads nearly had to go out and won a championship like that. So definitely, Tom, it was a highlight for myself especially, and for the fans watching on. The players themselves, Tom, needed this something. They needed something to win. These players, you know, a lot of these players have won nothing really at senior level, so this is what it's all about.
Yeah, and I suppose no more than Donegal Minors, probably would the disappointment be losing to Mayo?
Well, that was a big disappointment, Tom, again. I'm not sure, like, A lot of people within Tyrone would have looked at Tyrone thinking that they would have been happy to win an Ulster Championship. Personally, I thought that we should have possibly beat Mayo, to be honest with you. A few things, I suppose, a few things happened in the game that maybe people could, you know, contributed to us losing it. But at the end of the day, I think we still probably should have been good enough to beat Mayo on the day, and we didn't. And I think that's, to me, that overshadowed a wee bit of us winning Ulster Championship, in fairness. Like, I thought we were good enough to beat Mayo, and we didn't do it. So
Because in light of the previous year's All-Ireland semi-final against Kerry, you know, there was a feeling that, you know, this team wasn't far away from,
exactly.
You know, having said that, in fairness, they weren't far away from Mayo, and as we've seen, Mayo over, what, two games weren't far away either.
That's the thing, Tom, I'd say, like, it was from the Kerry display the year before, we felt that, that this team had probably something going on with them, and they were going to maybe move on and want something, and we didn't actually get any further forward, and the Mayo defeat was personally, I thought it was disappointing for me, anyway. I thought that we should have beat them and we could have beat them, and we didn't, and that, to me, was, like, where do you go from here? Like, can we get better here, or can we? That's the questions now that's hanging over Tyrone at the minute, whether we can get better to go out and like, Mayo obviously went on and possibly should have won another, and I'm not sure, but, judging on the match, if you look at the final, Tom, if Donegal, Tyrone, Kerry, anybody had played Dublin that day in the first match, I think any of them teams would have beat Dublin on the day. So, you know, Mayo failed, Tyrone, they beat Tyrone, so that sort of asked the question, where are we? So the jury's out, Tom, still about Tyrone, in fairness now, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Heading into the new season as Ulster champions, and tell me, I just was checking my records this evening, your Miners lost the first round for the first time, I'd say, in quite a while.
That was disappointing for the Miners. Believe it or not, I was involved in that squad, at the Belvin squad, and I thought this was a fairly good squad coming through. But they were disappointing, Tom. But then John has just aired on that. You know, minor football, Tom's wholly different. It depends, possibly, like, no criticism on the management, but depends who gets them and whether they can get them in the right condition. And, like, Tyrone have two or three squads involved in Macquarie Cup, and there's a lot of football been played prior to all this, and there's a lot of stuff at minor level that you can't really, you know, you can't control, Tom, and that's what goes on in Tyrone. And it was disappointing for Tyrone not to get past the first round, but, you know, I know there's a lot of work, I'm involved there, and there's a lot of work going on again at the development squad level, and they're trying to put that right, you know, so hopefully it'll fix. But again, you have to remember, you're only as good, Tom, as the players coming through, really. That's the problem.
Is there a drop-off, you know, in Tyrone?
Well, I've been involved, Tom, sort of, with that group, with a fair few groups there, and you're not seeing an abundance of players, but you're still seeing the crop of one or two players coming through. There's still one or two players always coming through there that you look at and think that these boys are going to hopefully bring us through. But I don't see an abundance of players, Tom. You know, people always talk about a conveyor belt coming through Tyrone. That's not what it's about. We have one or two players coming through. And that group, and this group, this present group of players, again, I was involved in them as well. There's some good players there, but, you know, time will tell. John has said it, Tom. Minor football is a whole different ballgame. It's all about who you can get together, and management and everything else has to work together, you know.
And Tyrone began the year at under-21, Rain and Ulster and All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, that was another highlight for Tyrone, Tom, coming through there. And obviously, when you look at you know, Tyrone's campaign through the championship, the senior championship, the influx of players that came in, I've talked to you previously through the year about Paddy Hamsey. You know, he was, to me, one of the best prospects we've had coming through, and the likes of him and young Kieran McGinney, Niall Sludden, Johnny Monroe, these boys all have contributed to Tyrone's success in the Ulster Championship, and hopefully to take us further afield. Like, that's the positives that we're getting from this year. But the negative, Tom, still hangs over the fact that we couldn't beat Mayo in that semi-final. Mm. That, to me, still is a negative there that we have to.
And was it disappointing that the under-21s didn't go on and retain the All-Ireland? You know, they lost to Monaghan in the final.
They lost to Monaghan in the final, Tom, and again, the squad was pretty good. But you have to give Monaghan their credit. They're a good team. They're well drilled and organised, and the Tyrone boys come off that field, and over the management were disappointed, but they still put their hands up and said, look, the best team won on the day, and that's the way it is. Again, you're dealing with underage football, and it's not always ideal when it comes to dealing with, you know, a lot of these boys involved in cigarettes and underage stuff. And again, I keep saying it, when you're dealing with underage football, Tom, it's different. It's a whole different ballgame. It's only when you get out of that that you can actually maybe, you know, you can actually look at players and say, this is what we're about and this is what's going to happen with these lads. Underage football is totally different.
Tato Igeshik, Leshen Clark, and Luke Glasgow, and the Shock, the National of Me, Tom Comack. My special guest tonight, or John Hearn, in studio here with me. That's the voice of John Lynch from Tyrone, and we're also joined by Conrad Gilligan from Derry. Conrad, well, not an awful lot to crow about from Derry this year, was there?
Yeah, it was a difficult year, but it was always going to be. You know, Damien has got a new crop of players in, and, you know, that started off well. I suppose it went downhill from the McKenna Cup final that they should have won. Yeah. And from then on in, you know, the Tyrone game and the championship, everything was set up, and I spoke to you before that, and I said, like, I worried that Tyrone were just going to be too strong for them, but there's always that chance of an ambush, and it never materialised after the goal. But, you know, the qualifiers did, you know, allow that Derry team to win, you know, games back-to-back, which they hadn't done previously. You know, they'd won a game and lost a game and maybe won another qualifier and lost the next one. You know, so they had no consistency, they had no springboard to build on, and, you know, to be fair, they had a favourable run. But again, all that stuff with the young team will help. And, you know, a lot of them players now have played 3, 4, 5 championship matches in a season, something that in years gone by, it could have took a young player making his debut 2 or 3 years to get them amount of games. So, you know, all those things, well, it was a disappointing year at the start. I think when they look back at it, they'll be reasonably satisfied with the qualifiers it went.
Yeah, and of course lost to Tipperary, and people tend to kind of frown on losing to Tipperary, but when we saw how close they were after.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I think, as John touched on there, you know, you talk about, well, how good are the other teams? You know, Mayo could have beaten Dublin. You know, Tyrone could have beaten
Mayo.
So, you know, when you look at it like that, you know, if that's the barometer, then everybody's looking and thinks, no, we have a chance. You know, Tipperary, Derry, you know, are at that level below the top tier, you know, and Tyrone, you know, Mayo, Dublin, Kerry are there. The rest of the teams are below that, and they're trying to get up there. But again, it's a huge gulf, and it's a huge gap from to jump out of that second tier into the first tier, and I suppose that's where Derry are at, and that's where they really need to get into. But again, it'll be another difficult season. Division 2, again, very, very competitive. They were lucky to stay there last year. So I think it'll be a case of trying to consolidate that position and, I suppose, hope for something better come championship time.
Yeah, and of course, you had a good minor team 2 years ago, won Ulster. You know, there'll be some of those coming through as well, I suppose.
Yeah, there will. And Derry have always had a strong cohort at that age group. But as the boys touched on, minor football's difficult and probably more difficult in Derry than most. I know there's a lot been made of schools football in Donegal and whether they should play McCrory Amalgamate, but you have St Pat's and Mahara, you know, that's been a breeding ground, you know, for the majority of all the really strong Derry teams that have come through, you know, and add into that there now, you know, Slocknail have had good minor teams, Glen have had good minor teams coming through to play and winning those St Paul's tournaments, you know, Kilray currently, you know, are through to the semi-final of that turn, you know. So, you know, Derry have that strong conveyor belt of young players coming through, but it's very hard because at 17, 18, a lot of the guys are making decisions to go to university. You know, if you're a good minor, you've been pulled in different directions for schools, for clubs, you know, for development squads. You know, it's very, very difficult, and as John touched on, you know, the management team, you know, have to be very, very strong and have to be very good to try and get the best of them coming through.
Tato Gaeltacht, Leis an Tar, coming out last game, a shock to the show on Tar Jernock. I'm being shogging, because in studio here with me is John Hearn. We've also got John Lynch on the telephone from Tyrone, and that's the voice there of Conrad Gilligan. We'll go for a break in a second, but just before we do, obviously, congratulations to our three new school All-Stars, which were named during the week, Niall O'Donnell and Pather Mogan. Niall O'Donnell of St. Junan's and Pather Mogan of St. Noel's, of course, members of this year's Donegal minor team, were named All-Stars during the week. And young Conor O'Donnell of St. Junan's College and St. Junan's Club, he's been named one for the future. He played with St. Junan's under-16s this year, who won the Paul McGuire tournament a couple of weeks ago, and has impressed as well for St. Junan's College in college's competition. So our congratulations to them, and also our congratulations to PCC Falcarra on winning the McDevitt Cup on Friday last. A cracking performance by Brian Barney McDermott, the manager of that team, and they defeated St. Ronan's from Lurgan in that final, played in Owen Beg on Friday afternoon. Just, we'll be back in a second.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, stocking the official Donegal Connell range for adults and children. Gear up for Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Walter Ash, and my special guests tonight are John Hearn, John Lynch and Conrad Gilligan, and we're going to move away from the inter-county scene and we're going to move to the club scene. But first of all, before we do that, actually, and just something that I meant to ask you, Conrad, quite a lot of players opted out of the Derry set up towards the championship last year, and a few more as you have opted out this year. Is there a problem getting commitment from players?
Yeah, I think generally outside of the strongest counties, I think there is a problem. I think I think a few of those Derry players are actually back now again. But, you know, for county players now, when you look at the level of commitment, and whether you're Dublin, whether you're Kerry, Tyrone, you know, or Leitrim, or whoever, you know, it's three nights a week minimum. You know, it's a full day of a weekend. You know, so 60% of your free time is taken up. And, you know, you look at it and you say, well, what's success? You know, is it developing? Is it improving? You know, it's easy in Kerry and Dublin because, you know, you're almost guaranteed to get out into the quarterfinals, semi-finals, you know, and chance of winning things. But for the weaker counties that are not going to win things, you know, players are asking themselves the question, you know, what's the point? And it's a real problem because the commitment levels are so tough, and it's such a hard thing now to commit to it. Players are asking themselves the question.
You mentioned there three nights a week. I've heard of counties training four nights a week, and that's pre-season, even before the start.
Yeah, and that's minimum now. You know, and if you want to be in the game, you know, you have to hit the basic requirements. And that the requirements is physically to compete, you know, and whether it's, you know, there's running sessions, there's gym sessions, you know, your nutrition has to be spot on. You know, and a lot of the time, you know, your life takes a back seat, and that's the way it has to be. And when you're successful, that's easy, you know, but it's the hard part is whenever success doesn't follow and, you know, your club is under pressure and they need you to play, the county management maybe won't let you play and can't let you play, and, you know, players have been pulled in so many different directions that the decisions are tough, and a lot of players are walking away, and it's probably something that the GAA as an association have to look at and say, well, you know, how can we get some sort of level of consistency across the board? Because, you know, if Dublin are training five times a week, then everybody else has to train five times a week just to stand still and be with them.
Yeah,
you know,
and somebody then decides six nights a week and
yeah,
maybe
and
seven.
That's the reality of sports. And some, I read in the Irish News talk about, you know, people mix up professionalism with getting paid. You know, Gaelic footballers at county level, and even at top-end club level, they're professional in everything bar, you know, it's not their day job. You know, their training, their nutrition, their hydration, you know, everything they do in terms of preparation is as good as, you know, any professional sportsman in any other area of life. You know, the only difference is, you know, they have to have a day job as well.
Yeah, you brought up a topic there. We'll discuss it at another length, maybe at another programme, because I want to get back to kind of reviewing the year, and we're going to go now to club. John, Donegal, I know you're disappointed with St. Junan's, but Glenn Swilly, the story of the year in Donegal?
Oh, it'll have to be, Tom, you know. The Great Ambush, as it's called now, you know.
Yeah, just remind people.
Well, no one gave them a chance, Tom, because...
Against Kilcare.
Against Kilcare, they were 6-1, 7-1 outsiders on the day. Kilcare were raising hot favourites, everyone was backing them. But, you know, Glenn Swilly hadn't been playing well up to the final, had got a handy enough draw to the final, weren't going well in the league, but they got their key players back, you know, and they got a wee bit of a rhythm, and they had a plan, And they executed the plan on the day, and you could see it, you know, that they had the experience of the big day of being in county finals. They had two championships already. And, you know, when the pressure came on, they weren't found wanting. They stuck to their game plan. They were very disciplined. People say the weather suited them and all that, but that's taken away from it, Tom. You know, they put in a serious performance. They took their chances. And, you know, they got over the line, and, you know...
There's two things there I just want to take up with you. One is, you know, given... And people kept saying this to me, you know, there was quite a lot of experience, quite a lot of county, inter-county experience. Mark McHugh, obviously, Patrick McBrearty, All-Ireland's played at Croke Park, big days. Ryan McHugh, you know, Michael Hegarty, big day experience, Martin McHugh on the line, you know, a football guru, you know, and all great experience. And people were telling me county final was different and Glenfluely had the advantage there. You know, for the ordinary person, they couldn't see that.
No, they couldn't see it, Tom. But, you know, being at the match, you know, I could see it after 5 minutes that Kilcar were bother. You know, Glenfluely were getting their... You could see Glenfluely were like robots getting back. They just went back to their position on the field, wherever they were told to. They set up a wall and they just stuck to their plan. You could see Kilcar going over and back. And you could see that they had no plan on how to break down a blanket defence. It was scary, really. Now, Tom, I was there in 2005 against Jim McGuinness's Glenties all them years ago when we were raging hot favourites, and that was the first time the blanket defence was ever seen, and Glenties took a hand at us. So it's not easy, but we learned from that, so maybe Kilcar learned. But, you know, the game has moved on, Tom. Kilcar should have had a plan to how to beat the blanket defence. Now, people say they missed a few frees and there was only a point in it at the end and all that, and that's fair enough, but they still lost it, and, you know... They've a long winter to think about it. But
John Lynch, I know you were at that final, and before we talk to you about Tyrone, I know you watched that final. What did you make of it?
Well, Tom, I've said this many a time on your show, and I don't want to, no disrespect to anybody, but when you have Michael Murphy in your team, Tom, anything is possible. And like that's really, when I watched that match, and I seen John sitting in the rain there, and I actually felt sorry for him sitting in the rain, but... When I was at match, Tom, Michael Murphy and the big Gallagher fella, at the end of the day, made the difference. And the way they worked together, it was just amazing to watch. And I was just in awe of what happened that day, in fairness. And, like, to be fair, people probably wanted Glenfluely to win that match. The majority of people probably watching that match wanted them to win it, and that's what happened. But Michael Murphy and Gallagher were just amazing. But I've said to you many a time before, when you have Michael Murphy on a team, anything is possible, and that's what happened on the day, really.
Anyway, look at we'll be back to you in a minute. But Conlath, I just want to squeeze this in before, in case we run out of time. The story in Derry this year, and I know from a Ballinderry man, you'll be seeing this through your teeth or admitting it through your teeth, but has to be Slough Neil.
Yeah, as much as it pains me. You know, they have been on an incredible run. You know, it's fairy tale stuff on their behalf. You know, three senior football championships now. They've won three hurling championships. They've won the Camogie. You know, they've won Ulster now 2 out of 3 years. And again, look, it's an incredible story in terms of what Mickey Moran has done there. You know, like Slough Neil had lost, you know, 2 or 3 county finals in the previous 5-6 seasons. You know, so, you know, they've been to finals and they were coming up short. And again, you know, they got one and they've never looked back since. And even since, from the first one, they've introduced 7, 8, 9 new players. You know, a completely different team now. Won a championship this year. You know, and again, it's incredible what Mickey has been able to do with them there. And, you know, there's no sign of that conveyor belt of talent. Like, they've been strong at minor, strong at 21. And everything else has just fell really, really well into place for them now.
And tell me, what is it about them? I know I spoke to Chrissy McCaig after the Ultra final, and he was telling me what defines them was, you know, you come and play Slough Neil, and you know what they're about. What are they like to when you go to Slough Neil?
Yeah, look, to be fair, you know, they play the game very, very hard, very fair. And again, probably no real superstars in their team, and that's where their strength lies. You know, defensively, man-to-man, very strong. You know, don't play a traditional blanket defence, but when they don't have the ball, they work really, really hard and they get back in. And whenever they attack, they've got pace everywhere. You know, they've got, you know, people in the, you know, Patsy Bradley in the middle, Chrissy at centre half back, you know, Paul Bradley pulling the strings at 11, but the real pace in the channel, and in terms of Derry, you know, nobody was really able to cope with that pace and power this year. Now, whether it'll be enough as it moves forward into the semi-finals, convincing, that remains to be seen. But in terms of Derry, you know, they're going to be the dominant force, and they'll be the team to beat in the season coming in.
And John, again, Tyrone champions fail in Ulster at senior level, but you have two Ulster champions at intermediate and junior.
Yeah, well, it was disappointing for Kelly Clara, obviously, but anyway, again, I would take my hat off to Slough Neil and what they achieved, and it was great to see it. But from a Tyrone point of view, Tom, it was great that we had Pomeroy, one in the Division 2 section, and the Rock, one in the Division 3 section, and these clubs are have been there and thereabouts for years. The good thing about Pomeroy have been, you know, almost a Division 1 team, and the Rock have always been a Division 2 team, so it was great for them to go into them in All Ireland series and meet the teams they did, because, you know, I've been involved, for instance, with the Castle League, and I'll say as well, from my own point of view, our club in Castle League here have won their title for the first year in 41 years.
Brilliant.
Which was great. So we won ourselves. But I've been involved in the Division 3, for instance, for years, and the likes of the Rock, for instance, who won the All-Ireland, they have went on and won the All-Ireland there. But, Tom, people look at them and they see them as a Division 2 team, and the same thing can be said for Pomeroy. Pomeroy would be looked upon as a potentially Division 1 team.
John, unfortunately, as you hear the music in the background, my thanks to John Hearn, to John Lynch, and to Conrad Gilligan, Norley Cunney, Gabe Gallaire. That's about it from me for this week, and indeed for this year. Thank you all for listening right through. Thank John, the two Johns, and Conrad for joining us right through the season. I know that we'll talk to them again in the new year. Good day on Bleen Chahogan, Slán agus Bannach.